You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. We got Michael Irvin yet or no? Not yet? All right. So we'll wait for Michael Irvin. What'd you think about what Omar said about he thought they paid Garoppolo too much too soon? Where were you on that? I can't remember.
I was eating the Garoppolo candy. I mean, he was undefeated, and I'm one of those. I feel like who you learn and study with rubs off on you. So I understood it. I didn't criticize the Niners, Steiny. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't pan out, I'm going to be across the street with the rest of the people saying, why did you give basically a guy that,
wait,
you know, was
you
a nobody?
You can't do that, though. That's not what you're allowed to do.
In life, you react once you get more information.
Wait a minute. So you're going to say,
go ahead.
I agree the 49ers should have given Garoppolo that contract.
I understand it, right.
And then if it doesn't work out, you're going to criticize him? Even
oh,
though
I'm going
to
come right back.
Even though you said the same thing? Let's ask Michael Irvin about
this. Ask the playmakers, Dottie.
joining us is former Cowboy wide receiver and member of the NFL Hall of Fame, Michael Irvin. Michael, thank you. I'm Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson and for Damon Bruce. When the 49ers signed Garoppolo to the $100 million-plus contract, my partner, Daryl the Guru Johnson, said, good move. I like it. He also has just said now that if Garoppolo doesn't play well next year, he's going to rip John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Should he be allowed to do that?
Well, you know, he can do it because, you know, once you make the move, it still has to work out. Mm. It all has to work out. That's the bottom line of it. But I can't believe you guys are in there talking about was that the right decision or not and worried about is Garoppolo the right decision? After what he had done to go into the last season, there was no way they could make a decision not to follow that through.
Some people were arguing for the franchise tag. What would that have meant?
Well, if they would have just franchise tagged him?
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, you saw the Kirk Cousins thing, situation. And the best way, because that's going to hit you hard in the cap. And then sooner or later, you're going to lose the power to really keep him. That's what happened with Washington. They couldn't pay him that third time on the cap money. And getting out front, you think you get a discount because you pay him now. The market's going to keep going up. It's not going down. You think you get a discount. So they had to make the move.
Michael, I can tell by your voice that you saw the game that was in Texas yesterday, and the great R&B singer Prince had a song, You Got That Look, and it looks like right now your Cowboys have that look. Is this real and sustainable?
Now, let's just talk. First of all, that game the Cowboys played, they won that game, and you're right. I'm so happy, and no matter what, I scream and lose myself on it because I'm a fan.
I understand.
Yeah, those guys. So that's what y'all, like, people are called, Michael, you can't be a fan. You got to be an analyst. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why can't I enjoy the game, too? You just want me to talk about it? I can't enjoy it? But you know what I mean? I want to be like everybody else. I want got my team. I want to mess with everybody. So it is fun. It is fun to have them going that way. But now the whole thing comes down to this. Can they continue to play that way? And for a long time, that offense didn't get in the end zone. They did not get in the end zone. They moved the ball up and down, but the game was still there. But an incredible job by that defense, man. And with Chicago beating the Rams last night like that with defense, you can say, hey, the Cowboys got a chance if they can play like that every week.
Michael, the 49ers tight end George Kittle caught 7 passes for 210 yards.
Went off. Yeah. Went off. God almighty.
What's that?
He went off.
Oh. Yeah.
Went off.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
I was on Undisputed with Shannon this morning, so we were talking about that. You know, he almost got Shannon Sharp record.
Exactly.
Talking about. Right, right. Like, man, when I saw 210 at half, I said, everybody, it was over. Don't even worry about it. It's over. And then he came back. How did you not throw the man the ball in the second half?
Well, Shanahan apologized to him.
Oh,
Let me bring it this way. You know, the Niners are 3-10. Last year, they ripped off 5 wins late in the season to give the fans hope. You see a player like George Kittle. Like, how do you tell whether he's the real deal or he's kind of a player putting up numbers because somebody has to put up numbers late in the year?
You don't play the way this kid has played, and it's not. He hasn't stumbled up on one game. You've seen him do multiple things at multiple times. So now what you're doing is, just like I told D, I said, man, you're scouring to see who's going to be there when the thing turns around and go the right way. And you can certainly believe that George Kittle would be one of those players that will be part of that so-called turnaround to getting them going in the right direction again, like the old days for the 49ers and stuff like that. That's a good kid, right? That's a good player.
Mike, I believe in the sport gods, and I believe, I'm telling my partner, that there are football gods. And when you trade Khalil Mack and see what effect he's had on the Bears, and you trade Amari Cooper to the Cowboys and see what effect he's had on that team, I feel like there's no way what you're trying to do can culminate in a championship. Am I wrong to think that John Gruden is just an uphill battle? The fact that you started your tenure giving away those two corner pieces?
Yeah. And, well, we will talk about it, especially as long as those two corner pieces are in our face making plays like they're making plays. And both of them are playing ferocious football right now. So we're going to talk about that, absolutely. But on Amari, it wasn't just John when he came in. Amari kind of had a so-so year the year prior to that. You know, so I'm thinking he just really needed a change of scenery, you know. And now with Dallas, he's with a bunch of young guys, somebody he can mature with. I just thought it's a perfect situation and a perfect offense for his talents.
Hey, Michael, we have, and we're talking to Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer. We had Jerry Rice on this morning, and he was asked the question, you know, with all the scoring in the NFL, do you sometimes wish you were playing in this era? And he actually said that they threw deeper more often in his era, and that if he were to play now, a lot of the passes are simple screen type passes or short routes.
Right,
and
he
actually said he didn't know if he'd be better in this day and age, which I kind of found surprising. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that is interesting to hear him say that. I mean, to think about it and to think about it that way, because I thought that's what the West Coast offense was built on. Short passing game, you could take the distance. You know, Jerry Rice certainly had more opportunities to go upfield. I understand what he's saying. Because my whole career, I have never caught what they call a smoke route. You know, where the quarterback just stands up and throws you the ball.
Right,
We never caught those routes. We went up the field with routes. So from that standpoint, yeah, that is different. But I believe Jerry Rice could have played under any era, in any circumstances. The Jerry Rice I watched could have played in any time.
Yeah, that smoke route. You know who they Harold Carmichael took advantage of the smoke route when he caught passes in about 180 consecutive games, something like that. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
And we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate talking.
All right, Michael Irvin obviously was watching the Cowboys game this weekend.
That was a fantastic question. That was posed to Jerry this morning, huh?
Yeah, I hope I paraphrased his answer correctly.
No, I get it. Michael got it.
Yeah, but he may be saying, Jerry Rice might be saying, I didn't say anything close to that. But I thought it was
But in our minds, they're throwing deep all the time, and they're really not.
Right. All right. Here's what I want the listener to do. I want you to get ready to listen to this sounder for our holiday gift grab. Take a listen.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right. So when you hear that sound, not now, but in the future, call 888-957-9570. If you're our lucky caller, Gianna will pick a prize for you out of the holiday grab bag. And there are some great prizes there. I went through them. And they're all pretty good. No duds in there, Guru.
We
no,
don't give
no,
duds.
No duds.
Yeah, no duds.
All right. Larry Riley coming up in 20 minutes. He's the GM who drafted Steph Curry. We'll have an interview with DeMarcus Cousins at 5:30. And then at 6:20 during Warriors Live, you have a chance to win $1,400 the Warriors Trivia Takedown. Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson filling in for Damon Bruce on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson sitting in for Damon Bruce on a Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. Coming up in 10 minutes, Larry Riley, the former general manager of the Golden State Warriors. He'll be remembered as the gentleman who drafted Steph Curry. And,
wow.
In essence, changed the fortunes of this franchise, albeit not right away. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to play an interview with DeMarcus Cousins. If you haven't heard, DeMarcus Cousins right now is down in Santa Cruz practicing with the Warriors G League team. The idea is for him to get a couple good practices under his belt as he continues his rehab and his progress to making his debut for the Warriors. I mean, we keep hearing progress. We keep hearing strides. We keep hearing he's doing this, he's doing that. The only thing we haven't heard, Guru, is when he'll be coming back.
But it's coming. And it's coming when gifts are coming because it's the Christmas season. This is the cherry on top. And, Steiny, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of wondering and thinking and just imagining what this Warrior team is going to look like with, because he will be back. And I feel like the fact that he's on the court and in the G League, I know he's not in the actual game, it's coming. I'm excited. And I know you're going to throw something at me. I'm a duck. But I think the drama that went on early happened at the most best time for this team to get all the little drama and turbulence past them, and now they just move forward in warp speed.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Draymond Green returning tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's played one game since the incident, if you will. He played the game in Houston, and he was horrible. Yeah. He was terrible.
The team was, though.
The team was, too. The team went into a malaise after he and Kevin Durant had words against the Clippers. So we'll see. I don't anticipate us being able to watch the game and seeing anything that maybe we notice. I think it's going to look like the same old Warriors. Now, I don't know if they're going to play great or not, but I don't think we're going to see anything, let's say, with the naked eye, where after the game we're going to be saying, you know, something's still going on. I just don't see that.
Yeah, that's the hope, Steiny. But what about what he said in his interview about DPOY? You and I Friday talked about, you know what, Guru, I think he missed too many games. He still wants it, and he's putting that out in the – I love it. He's putting that out in the –
I don't like it.
Tell me why.
It's –
because he's coming out with reckless abandon.
You know
that's
what?
I
think it's a little selfish. To tell you the absolute truth, I think it's a little selfish. And I know people say, well, how can it be selfish? He wants to win defensive player of the year.
Right.
Well, because there's two kinds of defense. There's team defense and there's individual defense. And individual defense is going to win you a defensive player of the year award. Team defense isn't going to get it done. So I don't want him focusing on individual defense at the expense of team defense. I'm not saying he would do that. I just don't like...
look at me. The look at me aspect of it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, there it is. Caller number two, 888-957-9570. Caller number two with an opportunity to win a holiday gift in our holiday gift grab game. It's a game. And Gianna will be drawing an envelope for a lucky winner. But before we do that, let's get back to a little bit of Warrior talk. I think there are certain awards. I think there are certain aspects of basketball where you can be selfish. Or one in particular is at the free throw line. I think it behooves everybody to want to shoot 90%. But I don't like him coming back and the first thing he's saying is, I still want Defensive Player of the Year award. I just don't like it.
Let me tell you why.
Why does he have to say that right away? How about coming back? We won three in a row and I want to fit in and I'm going to do whatever we need. Not, I still think I can win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know.
And this is why I don't like why I would put a ring on that phrase. That tells me that the toe is 110%.
That
if he's saying his answer, he ain't just saying I'm coming back, I hope I'm okay. He's saying I'm trying to get this award, which tells me subliminal message is, Steiny, the toe is fine. Everybody take a deep breath.
All right, we've got Kevin in Oakland. Gianna, you want to take it from here?
Well, congratulations, Kevin. You just won two tickets to see the Raiders taking on the Broncos on Christmas Eve, which is Monday, December 24th at the Oakland Coliseum. Happy holidays.
All right, Kevin in Oakland.
He's got to be ecstatic.
He's going to the Raiders Broncos. That's the last
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. Last is that the last game? The home game. I think it's the last home
game
of the year.
Help us out, Gianna.
I think they have one after that, but it's on the road.
That is the last home game of the year, so.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
Gianna,
yes.
Do you have a problem with Draymond saying he wants Defensive Player of the Year? If he's been hurt and he's happy to be back, Steiny's kind of not happy.
I don't have a problem at all. Why not? Set your goals high. Get him, Draymond.
There you go.
How about let's get our third championship in a row? How about that?
Well, that can come too, Steiny. We can do that too.
That's true. I guess we can multitask if we're the Golden State Warriors. So, anyway, congratulations to Kevin. He'll be going to the Raiders night before Christmas. That sounds like fun. Sounds like fun. I'm looking forward to Draymond playing tonight just to see what he looks like.
Me too, Steiny.
I gotta believe he can't be in very good shape.
You're right. Him or DeMarcus. So, what's the window to get back to? You know, prime optimum NBA shape?
It's a good question. I mean,
like
probably
Steph.
Probably a couple weeks.
He was winded that first game he came back in. Who was it? It wasn't Atlanta. I didn't like the way.
Detroit.
Detroit. He looked like me at the 24 hour.
By the way, your boy, Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, Screaming A, some people call him.
Your boy, Stephen A. Smith, is reporting that Kevin Durant to the Clippers is very, very viable, that's on the table.
Jerry West.
He said he heard from three sources that they think it's going to happen. Kevin Durant.
I always laugh at, like, what made him say three? He could have said five. What made him stop at three?
Well, you'd like to think it was actually three and not five and not one.
You might be right, Steiny.
So I got to take Smith's word for it.
What do you think KD's thinking when he hears that? Because you know he follows. He's on social media. He's probably like, these guys don't know. I don't think he's going, Steiny. I really think he's staying here, man.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's gone. I think he's gone. But I don't know that he knows where he's gone. But I would say that. If he leaves, I think it'll be L.A. or New York.
And what's scary is he can get a co-partner to go with him to L.A. if he chooses to go with the Clippers. And they're improved already.
How crazy would it be if Jerry West, the same guy who was basically the last phone call Durant took before he accepted going to the Warriors as a free agent. How ironic would it be if Jerry West, now as a Clipper front office member, was able to woo Kevin Durant from the Warriors?
It would be the last chapter in an autobiography I'm reading of the great logo, and that would be the last chapter of how he got Kevin Durant to L.A.
I mean, if you think about it.
I need a V8,
Steiny. It would be absolutely unbelievable if that were to happen. You start thinking about Jerry West. He built the Lakers. Then he went to Memphis.
He knew who Kobe was.
Yep. Then he went to Memphis. And he turned that team around, that franchise around. He came to the Warriors. They struck gold, and now he's with the Clippers, another franchise that has never won much. And who knows?
Hey, don't sleep on their owner, Ballmer. He's a go-getter.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, we have a winner for the holiday gift grab, so you can hold your calls, as they say. Hold your calls. We have a winner, and that winner was Kevin in Oakland. He's going to go to the Raiders-Broncos game on Christmas Eve. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Matt Steinmetz with you. We're filling in for Damon Bruce today. Damon taking the week off, and we are at Oracle Arena, where the Golden State Warriors are going to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. Warriors returning from a five-game road trip. They went 3-2. They've won three straight games. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are a team that's changed a little bit. No longer do they have Jimmy Butler. They got Robert Covington. They got Saric.
Well, that's some good players.
and they've gotten close to 500. Then again, every team is close to 500 in the Western Conference. I got to tell you, I don't think the Western Conference is very good.
This is a State of the Union from Steiny on the Western Conference. I'm with you. What is it? What's transpired? If you look at the teams that are not in, what the hell is going on in Houston? I'll give San Antonio a pass.
Why? I didn't expect give San Antonio a pass?
I've never been a big DeRozan fan. And I he's the epitome of the type of player that can't play for Pop. Because I think he mentally, if you go at him and, you know, that hard love, you'll lose him. I don't know, Stein. I'm just not a big fan of the Spurs.
Well, think about this. The 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th, and 15th team. All of those teams made the playoffs last year. Minnesota, New Orleans, San Antonio, Utah, and Houston.
Okay.
None of them would make the playoffs right now.
Let me step in my office. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how I look at the standings. Look at that A spot, and all those teams that aren't in the playoffs, I bet, are within a two games of make. So it's going to be madness. Yeah. It can flip.
Oh, it can absolutely flip. One team wins five in a row, and everything changes. Yeah. But right now,
where's Minnesota now?
Minnesota is 10th. 13-13.
They're not even in.
Nope. They're only a game behind Dallas, who's 13-11.
Don't sleep on the Mavs. Rookie of the year? Luka?
Let's see what happens. I mean, it's still pretty early in the year. But, no, he's off to a good start. Ayton's going to put up the numbers, even though that team's not going to win.
Well, they're already arguing.
Yeah. But that, I don't know if that'll hurt his rookie of the year chances. And Trae Young, the Atlanta Hawks aren't very good. So that might impact his, his vote count, if you will. The Warriors play tonight against the T-Wolves, Wednesday against the Raptors. People seem to be really looking forward to that Raptors game. And then they go to Sacramento. So it's one of those weeks where they're going to play some good teams. And, oh, by the way, they're going to play Sacramento on Friday, and right now the Sacramento Kings are over 500. So
almost one in this building.
Yeah, it's going to be a good week for the Warriors. I think we're going to be able to gauge kind of where they are.
Now, I look at the T-Wolves as a young athletic team, but does every team run? And I guess I'm going Dre's toe. There's not slowdown ball anymore, so they're going to test that bad boy regardless of who you're playing in this new era of basketball, right? We're going to be able to look at him, the eye test, I will, and be like, is he laboring? Is there pain?
Yeah, I just worry about or wonder what kind of shape he's in. I'm sure the toe's going to be fine, but I also think a toe injury leads you to start thinking, is he really going to play the rest of the season without getting hurt?
Wow.
Or is there going to be a time come March and April where maybe the Warriors are going to want to sit him for a few more games to get him ready for the postseason? I mean, I think that's what we got to wonder about as it pertains to.
Can they win it without Draymond?
No, I don't think so.
And I don't believe it either.
I don't believe they can. All right, joining us right now, he's the former general manager of the Golden State Warriors, and right now he's working for the Atlanta Hawks, Larry Riley. Larry, good to talk to you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I spent a little time in Atlanta last week, and golly, we got a win. Can you believe that?
Yes, against the Denver Nuggets. I watched that game. You guys are young, but it's a team that does play hard. Warriors have already seen them twice already.
We have, for the most part, played hard, making excuses as we all do. We didn't have John Collins early in the season, and he's an awfully good player. And we've had a few other injuries, but every team in the league goes through that. And when you start talking about it, it's a long ways away, but when you start talking about playoffs and so on, well, one of the keys is who's healthy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Larry, I wanted to ask you something because you're kind of the – I don't know what the analogy would be, but you're kind of the guy who's been forgotten here a little bit. You think of Klay Thompson and everybody says Jerry West is responsible for him. You hear Steph Curry and old Nelly somehow is getting a lot of credit for that. Do you feel – good about the way that you left this franchise and kind of watching it after you took off, see its success?
Matt, I really do. And, I guess the one thing is that I know what happened from the inside, and I'm totally satisfied with it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what anybody else said. I know when I was watching Steph Curry and when I was watching Klay Thompson, and I remember vividly telling Joe Lacob a couple weeks before the draft that we were looking right at Klay Thompson. And, you know, the good thing about those things is we had agreement. I mean, you didn't have to fight somebody to go ahead and draft Klay Thompson. That's one good thing. And sometimes that can happen within an organization. And, you know, I didn't talk to Jerry a lot about Klay. I did know that when we got to that last week draft time that he liked him, and it made things easier. But our staff did a lot of work on him. We liked him. I was satisfied that was the guy we should take if he was there. Our biggest worry with both of those guys, with Steph and Klay, was that for some reason they may not be there.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's one of those things where when you're you know, when you're on the inside and you know what's really happening and so forth, then you don't feel right. bad about it, because
gotcha.
Those two guys were my guys. If they were, you know, they could have been everybody else's guys too. That's
right. Yeah.
The result,
Larry, when you look at the. When you look at the league today, I'm trying to tell my partner here, you know, I know we're the home of the Warriors at 95.7 The Game, but I think there's the Warriors and everybody else. And I know KD and Draymond had that little, you know, fisticuffs, and now they're moving forward. In your mind, Larry, is there a team that can give this Warrior team a run for their money to prevent them from winning three in a row?
I think under the right circumstances, there could be. You know, I like some of the teams that I see. The East is definitely stronger. You guys watch the league, you know that.
Yes.
There are five teams in the East that are at least pretty good basketball teams. And then by the time the end of the year rolls around, Boston will be a really good team. So will Toronto, as they are right now. I think Milwaukee can be. And, you know, so there's three right there. And I've left Philadelphia out. I'm not quite as high on Philadelphia, but they're a good team. And so I think when you go through a playoff structure, you have to go win it, regardless of what year it is and who's got what talent. Is it possible that the Warriors could lose if they're healthy? Yeah, it's possible. I don't think it's likely. I still give them the advantage if they're all healthy.
Larry, when you drafted Steph Curry, I got to believe you never thought he'd be this great. But what did you think that he might turn into?
You're exactly right, Matt. I mean, we're supposed to say, oh, I knew he was this good all along. It's just like when you draft Michael Jordan, you know, you're
right.
supposed to say, oh, yeah, I knew it. No-brainer. Well, no, we didn't. And it's just like Rod Thorne probably didn't know that Michael Jordan was going to be as good as he is. What I did see, though, and was pretty confident about, was that we had drafted a point guard who would be with us for 10 years. And I thought he would make shots. I had no idea he'd become what he did. I did see him as a guy who would pass and become an effective point guard. And that's what we're trying to do, draft somebody that would stabilize that position for a long time. In spite of the fact that Monte Ellis was a nice player, I never viewed him as a point guard who could take you where you wanted to go. And I did think that Steph solved that problem for us. And it became obvious even when he was a rookie.
Well, obviously you have a player who is being compared to Steph Curry. I've watched Trae Young play a lot this year. I think he's a great passer, maybe a better passer than Steph coming into the league. But the shooting, I don't think he's on the same level as Steph. But how's he coming along, and how fair or unfair do you think that comparison is?
Well, Matt, you're right on the money. First off, he came into the league. He's a better passer than Steph was coming into the league. He's nowhere near the shooter that
right.
Steph was. And see, we used to, years ago, people used to wonder, okay, who's going to be the next Michael Jordan? Well, that's an unfair deal for any kid coming out of college or wherever he comes from. That's so hard to live up to. It's really a tough one. The thing has gotten to be about the same way with Steph. If you say who's the next Steph Curry or who's the next LeBron or who's the next Durant, those are pretty tough. I think the realistic comparison with Trae Young is not Steph Curry, but somebody like Jason Kidd. Now, Jason was stronger and he was bigger. But at the same time, you would have known quite well that Jason didn't shoot the ball very well right. coming into the NBA. But he could get it up the floor, and he could pass. He was a better defender than Clay is right away, than Trae is right now. But I think that's a more realistic comparison, and I do think that Trae is going to become a better shooter because a couple of things will happen. He'll get up a lot more shots, so he'll get a little more comfortable. Secondly, he'll take better shots. That's one of the things that knocked his percentage down over the last, say, dozen games. There have been some bad shots in there, and it looks like that there's a cure for that. We hope so. And but I do say that you're right on the money. He came into the league. Trae Young is a better passer than Steph, but the rest of the comparison falls short by quite a bit.
Larry, I'm in my 40s, and I'm always telling my partner here that I miss the big man. I miss the post. I don't get enough of that. And the great Greg Popovich came out last week and said basketball is not, if I paraphrase, not as pretty to him. Where do you stand with the new pace of play and three-pointers, you know, just coming all throughout the game? Do you like it?
I do, and I favored it a great deal years ago. And I say years ago, and Matt will probably remember this, we went ahead and drafted a couple point guards when I was working with the Vancouver Grizzlies at that time, Steve Francis, and we already had Mike Bibby. And I had visions of those two guys not starting together but playing a lot of minutes together. And I like the pace of the game. I like the fact that it's more of a finesse game right now and a skill game. I never liked it when we're playing against Detroit because they're beating us all the time anyway, but it was more of a physical game. It was more like the WWF, and there were times when I didn't think it was basketball. I don't think it's basketball when you catch the ball in the low block and you dislodge the defender and back him down three dribbles and then lay in the basket. To me, that's there's nothing to that that says basketball. Now, that's the way it was played for a while, and a lot of guys made a great living doing it. I would, however, like to see, particularly even our team, I'd like to see us get a few more post-ups. I'd like to see us get the ball in the low post once in a while. Not a lot, but I still think there's a mix for that, and I see a lot of teams who are going away from that totally, and they probably don't have a low post catch play in their playbook.
Wow.
You know, it just seems that way. Now, I'm guessing because I haven't seen every team play, but the teams I'm seeing, there's not much of it. Now, of course, Popovich is still playing more of a traditional game, and you got some teams that will play a little more traditional, but there are a lot of teams playing very fast and shooting a lot of threes, and it's either a three-point shot or drive to the basket, and that's it. I like a mid-range jump shot when it's wide open. I'll take 2 points anytime. But
right.
A lot of teams are not going that way.
Hey, Larry, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And we will catch up to you down the line somewhere.
I hope you do, and I hope to see you guys somewhere in the Bay Area before long. Don't know
all right.
when that'll be. Have a
yeah.
good holiday.
Right, same to you, Larry. Appreciate it. Larry Riley, he's in the
he
Hawks
sound like
front
a class
office right
act,
now.
Steiny. I
yeah,
just
he's a great guy.
That.
He's a great guy.
Well, so, I know good people.
It's Warriors South down there. They got Schlenk, who's the GM. Rod Higgins is in the front office. He was out here. Larry Riley.
They're
was
missing
out
one
here.
Thing. The
Chelsea
W's.
Was here. Chelsea Lane was here and has gone back there. So. Schlenk has taken some Warrior people with him. Yeah, they're only 6-20 right now.
I got to tell you.
They got to start.
I didn't know my history. I thought he was going to say he missed the low post. He likes it. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. You know what? It's going to be interesting to see how much the Warriors use Cousins down there. Because I actually don't think they're going to use him down there very much.
And
either.
He can't get mad. He knows it.
Oh,
there wasn't a line for his services.
No,
he knows he has to be a good, a good soldier for the other teams that try to get him next year, right? He's not that D-cuz that can just throw a chair and, what's going on? I'm the man? They let you be a part of this.
Hey, he needs to get paid. Don't ever forget it. Right. Steinmetz and Guru filling in for Damon Bruce on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Steinmetz and Guru filling in for Damon Bruce, and we are live from Oracle Arena. Golden State plays the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at 7:30. They return from a five-game road trip. They went 3-2. They play Minnesota tonight, then a big one Wednesday against Toronto, and then they're off to Sacramento for a game Friday. Draymond Green, he has missed the last 11 games. He's going to return to the lineup tonight. During his absence, the Warriors 6-5, and Guru, the last time we saw Draymond Green was in Houston, and he was terrible. He was absolutely awful that game. Probably was the worst game he's played this year.
Yeah, you know what? He was, and the team was, so it wasn't just him, and it was after the drama. So I expect now that the Warriors got Stella got her groove back, the Dubs got their groove back, and I believe Draymond will fit in like he always has. It's all about, you know, his wind and his conditioning, and he's not Kevin Durant. He's not a basketball angel to where he's going to go to the three-point line and captivate us that way. He's Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical. Will the lack of wind, which we think he'll be going through, Steiny, will that allow him to be Draymond Green? And only, you know, time will tell, and that's the biggest question mark for me and why I'm excited going into this game.
Well, I gotta believe he's gonna look like himself just because he's gotten plenty of time off. You get the sense that if the Warriors were playing meaningful games, he would have been back already. So I'm anticipating we're gonna see Draymond Green look pretty much like Draymond Green tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a minutes limit, but I'll bet you he gets 20,
maybe
25, maybe, I don't know, something like that. The one thing that that everybody is kind of bringing up is the fact that Draymond said yesterday that he still thinks he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year award. And he's missed 13 games. Is it 13 or 14 games?
Yeah, he cited total. Kawhi missing. I forget how many games.
Well, he didn't do his homework.
Uh-oh.
And usually Dre's a student of the game, but and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute. So he's missed 11, 12. He's missed 14 games as of right now. That's the bad news. But the good news is that last year, do you remember who won it?
Last year, the winner was from Utah, Mr. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and he only played 56 games. So last year, Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year. He missed 26 games.
He almost won it by default.
So back in 14-15, Kawhi missed 18 games.
26.
And now I go back, I'm looking. And everybody's played more than 70 after that. But in the recent past, Guru, Alonzo Mourning won it in 98-99 with 46 games, but that was a 50-game lockout season. Everybody's over 70.
That.
Everybody's over 70. Tyson Chandler in 2011-12 played 62 games, but that was the 66-game season. So there have been a few instances of just two exactly, Rudy Gobert and Kawhi Leonard, who have won the Defensive Player of the Year.
So one of my phrases, Stoney, the math is still there.
The math is still there.
But he has to start tonight, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how dominant was Rudy Gobert? How dominant has Rudy Gobert been? How dominant was he last year? Obviously,
56 games.
Somebody thought he was extremely dominant because he won the award in only 56 games. I mean, to my way of thinking, I think Draymond Green makes more of a defensive impact than Rudy Gobert.
There's no doubt.
Well, there is doubt. There's a lot of people in Utah and around the league that would say we're incorrect on that.
Do you think it has anything to do with his personality or persona that Draymond's so boisterous and demonstrative towards the refs or even the other team that – I'm not – you would know this, but maybe the committee hates on him per se?
I don't think it's that as much as – kind of a stereotype about a Defensive Player of the Year should
be tall and
exactly, or they get first crack at it. I mean, I'm looking down.
That's interesting.
I'm looking down the list. I mean, the last guard When was the last guard to win Defensive Player of the Year?
I think
award?
I got an answer.
Give it to
Michael
me.
Michael Jordan.
No. Nope. But
I'm shocked right now.
Gary Payton.
Oh, good Lord.
GP won Defensive Player of the Year in 95-96. And then you have then you go to Jordan, Alvin Robertson.
Oh, Alvin.
And Sidney Moncrief. I would call him a small forward, but nevertheless, he was not an interior player. But I do think that has a lot to do with it, but, whether you're a center or not and whether you supposedly are a great shot blocker.
Now, there are days I come in here and I think I know you, and then I'm totally wrong. But if you miss 26 games out of 82, Steiny, you should be disqualified from winning any type of award like that. The best ability is availability. And you almost 26. That's too many for me. We need to
talk
to the
committee.
Well,
who was there last year? I mean, here, let me get the voting up for you. If I
thought Donovan
it.
Mitchell played good defense. I'm not saying he was Defensive Player of the Year. Anthony Davis protecting the rim. Draymond Green. Yeah. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
DeAndre Jordan, what are you doing?
DeAndre Jordan's not a great defensive player.
Yeah, I've been watching
him. I don't care what anybody says. He's not. He's not.
But, oh, man.
Now, Draymond Green comes back tonight.
Day-day.
The way I look at it is this is kind of the final piece. I know other people are saying, well, what about Cousins? Yeah, I get it. Cousins is going to come back. But I do kind of put him off to the side a little in terms of this team. I mean, it's not that he can't make them better. Obviously, he's got the ability to make them better. But I first want to see what the team looks like without Cousins, but with Draymond Green coming back. And I think they'll get a pretty good test tonight against the Timberwolves. It's a 500 team.
Yeah, and what about Steph Curry? We can't forget him and Kevin Durant, because in my mind, forget the committee, Steiny, I think both of them are in the conversation for MVP, and each day and game that comes by, 30-40 here, that resonates. And I'm just curious to see if Steph Curry can keep shooting just spectacular from deep, because I know he can make three-pointers out of just waking up and getting out of bed. But, Steiny, I'm shocked that there's not been rust from deep since he's come back. Shoot or shoot. That's what they say on the street, Blacktop. Shoot or shoot.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
I mean, Steph Curry.
Shoot or shoot.
Steph Curry, that's the one part of his game that, I mean, what's the point of worrying about? It's one of those things that if Steph Curry's in a shooting slump, I mean, okay, he's in a shooting slump. It's like, and we move on. I mean, what are you going to do? You going to take him out of the game? You going to bench him? You going to say, hey, quit shooting? I mean, Steph Curry has kind of earned the right to be in a seven-year shooting slump after the way he shot, at the start of his career. I mean, it's the greatest shooter I've ever seen, Guru.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about what would Clay be if he was in Sacramento, the old Kings, or Draymond for that matter. But if Steph Curry were in those situations, Steiny, as soon as he crosses half court, he's a mismatch. And the defenses in the NBA, they've yet to get comfortable or come up with some type of formula to stop him. So what I say to you is there's nobody that can stop Stephen Curry, regardless if he was on this team or another team. He's always going to get his shot off.
Draymond Green was asked yesterday if the injury and the time off had impacted his goal of winning the award. And Draymond said, hell no. And that he says he still can get it done. And that was after missing 11 games and 14 games total. I don't know.
That's the answer he's supposed to give.
No, he's not supposed to give that.
Was he supposed to say, yeah, I know, I missed a lot. No, he's supposed to, I get it.
I just have a problem with him announcing that's the thing he wants. I don't know why. Did Kevin Durant say, I want to win the MVP this year? What's the difference?
He's been gone. He misses the guys. He wants to be a part.
No, but he said he wanted to win Defensive Player of the Year before the year started.
He's a junkyard dog. He's letting me know he's ready. That's how I take that comment.
I don't like it. I don't like it, to tell you the truth.
Now, if he said, I want to lead the team in scoring, then I'm like, oh.
What if Durant said that?
He would never say that.
So why is it okay for Draymond to go after
because Draymond is not blessed with the size and natural gifts that Steph and KD are. So what he does on the defensive end is all from heart. I'm going early Valentine's Day. So he plays with his heart and emotion. So that's why the guys love to hear that, Steiny. He's locked and loaded and he's ready.
Well, if he if today we see Jeff Teague get to the basket and Draymond Green doesn't come off Karl Anthony Towns, then do I have something?
Or we see a repeat of the Houston game where we're just, you know, haywire, pandemonium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. It's going to be fun. I know that. Draymond back is going to add some excitement to this team. And when Cousins comes back, I mean, it should be what do they have a four-ring circus?
This is,
I know they have Barnum and Bailey as a three-ring circus. That's the big boy. But I wonder if the Warriors – actually, Cousins would probably be a five-ring circus.
Yeah, he says he's the third splash brother. I want to see how they incorporate him in this offense.
Well, and you know what? That's a good question because if you look at Cousins, I think a lot of people think right away, oh, well, you know, the Warriors now have a low post center. Really? I mean, if you look at Cousins last year, I want to say he shot 7 threes a game last year.
For New Orleans?
He shot 6 threes a game last year, which was the most in his career.
We're playing 32, 35 minutes.
36 minutes. He shot 35% from three-point range. Six a game. One-third of Cousins' shots last year, over a third of his shots, were from three-point range. So that's going to be interesting to see.
And I've told you, this team needs to bomb more threes. Batter up.
Who would you rather have shooting a three, Cousins or Green?
Oh, there's no – come on.
What?
DeMarcus.
They're both about the same percentage, I think.
Career-wise, how about that? Look at me going basketball reference.
Well.
If we went career.
Cousins is worse career. 33.8 is Cousins. 33.8 from the three-point line.
Okay, well, give them Draymond to Steph and, KD or Clay.
Draymond's 325, so they're both very mediocre shooters. But if you're on the opponent's team, you'll take either of those guys shooting threes, that's for sure.
No doubt.
So Cousins is down in the G League right now working out with the C-dubs, as it were. And we're going to run an interview that Cousins did. I think that's from down there either today or last night after he got his first practice under his belt. So when Cousins comes back, it's going to be another three-ring circus. Who knows when he's coming back. But from what I understand, Guru, he would love to play on Christmas Day because he's never done that before.
Yeah, but you got to save the player from himself. And I know that sounds good, Steiny, but if he's not ready, he's not ready. But if he's ready for practice, you're ready for the game. That's the doctor I do, medicine I, you know. What's the difference, I guess I'm asking you? And why is he not playing down there, but he's okay to practice?
Because the game is more strenuous than a practice. And if he's still not in great shape, I think they got to have him practice a little bit. The other thing is, I don't know that they want him playing a game in the G League. I mean,
if something were to go wrong, it happened up here.
Yeah, I mean, players have done it. Veteran players have done it. I don't know if he's going to do it or not.